The speakers will be Mr. Brunello Cucinelli, President and CEO, Moreno Ciarapica, CFO, and Pietro Arnaboldi, Investor Relations Manager. In order to receive help from an operator during the conference call, press star followed by zero. And now I'd like to give the floor to the President and CEO of the group, Mr. Brunello Cucinelli. The floor is yours. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, my English is not so fluent that I can hold a speech in English, but maybe I was thinking the other day that I will never really master this language, because at school I studied French. But honestly speaking, if I was to hold a whole meeting, a whole conference in French, well, I would not be able to go really into depth with specific topics, because I do not master the language perfectly. And if I've always thought that unless you think in a specific language, you really run the risk that then the whole speech really is not perfect, because you're not really use the suitable adjectives. So thank you. All the first greeting goes to our esteemed investors, partners, and analysts. And you know that next week a meeting will be held with all of you. We thought that it could be a biannual event here at Solomeo, so we will be very pleased to welcome you here, hoping that the weather will be fine. As of today, the weather forecasts are favorable, but maybe if you can bring a sweater, because we'd like to have dinner in the main square of the village, so it could be cool in the evening. Otherwise, if you do not have any sweaters, we might have a couple. So, but anyway, we would like to talk seriously about the results, and also talking about the data in 15, 14, 15, 16, but especially talking about our visibility on 15 and 16. So first of all, I'd like to give you a few results, then I'd like to give the floor to the CFO, Moreno Ciarapica, and then I'd like to resume the floor to express a few comments on this pretty interesting time. I'd like to say even more than interesting for true luxury, and especially for Italian or French high-end absolute luxury. Well, before starting, I'd like to say that in the press release that you have in your hands, actually, I took the liberty to say that this 2014 really seems to be a very special year for us. I think that all the things that we really wished for are coming true, and this is a very strongly felt sensation, especially for Italy. It seems to be a moral, civil, political, economical, human, spiritual revival and rebirth that is going on. I have the impression that we are credible once again worldwide, and I like this very, very much. The last few interviews that I have given to worldwide first-class important journalists, well, I have said that we are going back to being a first-quality country. And thank you to all the press and to everybody, to all those who keep saying that we are a very first-class quality country. So before moving on to results, I'd like to thank investors and analysts, because 2 years after the IPO, after the listing, if I have to draw some conclusion and take stock of the situation, I have to say that these have been two very special years. So what was the what did we actually receive from new investors and analysts? Of course, if you dare listen, if you're willing to listen, we have received a lot, very much. I have to say that no consultancy company, even though you were to pay very staggering prices, no one would ever have told us what you have told us. So for us, it has been a really interesting, high-quality debate, discussion that we've had from the economic, strategic, moral point of view. We feel reassured in some of our certain strategies. So thank you very much for the 2 years we spent together, and I would define them two quality years. Let's now move on to the results for the first quarter. So we had 99.6 million in net revenues, thereby posting a 12.2% growth at current exchange rates. And for us, this topic of current exchanges is very, very interesting. And why is that? Because by setting the exchange rates, We do not have any capital gains or capital losses on currencies because we basically set them. So it can somehow impact revenues, but not the income statement. Last year, for us, this gap was 1.6. As of today, it would be around 1.2. And we estimate that for the full year, it could fluctuate between 1 and 2 points if exchange rates remain basically flat. But obviously, you should be aware that there is no differential in terms of income statement. So a 12.2% growth in terms of net revenues. Then EBITDA posted an increase of 13.5%, so 18.3 million euros. And so as far as exports are concerned, 76.9% of total sales. So it is basically plus 17.6%. And then the geography breakdown, America grew by 13.2%, a very interesting growth. Europe 16.5%. Greater China 25.9%. But you know that as far as China is concerned, it only weighs 5% of our revenues. So you see this 25.9% should be, you see, taken with a pinch of salt. And then rest of the world, 27.7% growth reported there. In this case, too, these are not in absolute huge values. Well, as far as Italy is concerned, I'd like to spend a couple of minutes on this, because in the first quarter was minus 2.7%, so which means basically 600,000 euros in terms of value. But believe me, I trust Italy. I believe in Italy very, very much. And by that, I mean that in the last prime trade fairs, PT Milan, since I had a chance to speak to many players in the sector, the mood is completely different. So we could say that there is a slight differential between northern and southern Italy, and then a gap between large cities or resorts and then small provincial cities. But why does Italy play such a crucial role for us? Because, you see, having important stores, high-quality stores in Italy, it means having a very high, highly appreciated image worldwide. And then taste, I attach a lot of importance to that, because if your collection is not appreciated by an Italian operator, player or consumer, then means that you're really struggling. So it is very, very important to bear in mind what the feedback of Italian customers is. Of course, for us now, Italy accounts for 20%, but in terms of taste, its value is much, much higher. Then, like for like, in the first months of the year, we had 5.5% like for like, and you know that always we have always envisaged and factored in our balance sheet a like for like that can fluctuate between 5, 6 or 7%. This kind of rate, because I have always argued that a healthy like-for-like rate can be around 5%. So by that, I mean a very, very healthy growth. Another important topic here, investment, CAPEX. We are just completing 2014 will be still a very important year in terms of investments, the third year there. During the whole year, we will invest altogether between 35, 39 million, which in addition to the 26 million in 2012 and the 40 million nearly in 2013, we could achieve between 106, 107 or 108 million investments in a three-year period. So it is true that through this kind of investments, we can possibly say that our company can be considered pretty solid and robust with good foundations for the future. A few days ago, we moved to the extension of our factory, which is just here before us, and you will have a chance to see it during the Investor Day next week. And thanks to this, it will cater for our needs in the future. We will work better. Not that we did not work good in the past, but we appreciate And we think that this kind of expansion might be very useful for the years to come to support a healthy growth in which we believe. And through these investments, between 35 and 40 million this year, at the end of the year, our net financial position should be around 30, 32 million. This is basically the plan. So you know that have always maintained that debt is not the right thing to have because I've always been afraid and scared of them. But through these investments, we think that we are pretty well balanced. And, you know, they're pretty important for the company. You also know that we hold a one single brand. And in the second part of this conference call, following the data reports by Moreno Ciarapica, I'd like to go back to discuss of the value of the no logo products and also of the time that we are going through. That is a very appealing, interesting period for luxury apparel. But we will be talk about this in the second half of the call. So we still believe in one single brand, 67% women's wear and 33% men's wear, as you know. It is true, and I'd like to repeat this, but I'd like maybe some new listeners to know this from me. So 67 women, 33% men, 85% through apparel and 15% accessories. And we would like to be seen, considered and identified as a true apparel company. You know that there is a sort of comeback to investing in apparel because there is a demand for this in the market, but we will be dwell on this in the second half of the call, and we currently export to 60 countries. As of today, we have about 100 monobrand stores, and we could say roughly 70% DOS and 30% franchise stores. And you know that the reason why we open franchise stores is because maybe we want to open new stores in Eastern Europe or in other countries, whereas DOS is the right formula for the rest of the world. For these 100 monobrand stores, so we have 100 monobrand stores and 700 multi-brand stores worldwide. They represent the top customers, among which many department stores, Saks, Neiman Marcus in America, and Harrods in England, just to name a few. At the end of the day, our sales is broken down, it will be broken down in the year as follows, 51% multi-brand channel and 49% monobrand channel. That 49% monobrand channel should be broken down between 39% DOS and 10% franchised stores. So now, since I have already given you report all the results, I'll give you the floor to the CFO, Moreno, and then we will go back to discussing on topics such as the taste, distribution, and the value of craftsmanship of our products. Thank you for now. Very well. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, Brunello, CFO speaking. So let's now move on to analyzing the quarterly results. I'd like to say beforehand that quarterly results can be affected by typical seasonality effects, typical of the sector, both in terms of quarterly sales and margins. Among the elements, for example, I'd like to point out the different points in different quarters of the retail and wholesale monobrand and multi-brand channels. And on top of that, the specific shipment trends of collection between the end of a quarter and the beginning of the following one. Well, this said, I repeat it all the time, but I'd like to say it once again, because it's important to point out the weight of the different channels or the different trends. The group, like Andrea Brunello said, has reported a 12.2% growth at current exchange rates and 13.4% at constant exchange rates. I don't want to repeat the survey, the breakdown by geographies, because Brunello was very exhausting in his explanation, but I'd like to point out another important aspect, that is that the growth affected all sales channels. So we can say that the retail channel grew by 24.1%, the wholesale monobrand channel by 10.4%, the multi-brand by 6.3%. And this growth was achieved maintaining a great care and attention to the exclusivity of the distribution network. This focus enabled us to achieve 100 monobrand boutiques, 98 at the end of the quarter, plus the two boutiques that were opened this month of April, in Vienna and Seoul in April 2014. And the same focus we have also devoted to our footprint in more or less 700 exclusive multi-brand clients, among which the very important luxury department stores with increasingly prestigious and unique selling spaces allotted to us. As far as the like-for-like performance, Brunello already focused on it. On the 18th week, we are now at 5.5%, which is a result that we considered the normally expected level in our budget. So you should know that this is basically the level of our economic forecast. But once again, I'd like to remind you of the importance of a like-for-like performance analysis for the whole season. So more than instead of focusing on a single quarter or on a single week, what we basically do, we analyze the like-for-like to give a feedback on the six-month period, because during a 6 months, a whole sales campaign, sales season is completed, and according to the different types of products that are being sold or are being successful in one season or the other, the in-between like-for-like result could not be really mirroring the truth. So the time span where you can really have a proper idea of the like-for-like performance is not the single quarter. So it's the season. One last remark as far as sales are concerned has to do with tourist flows. For us, they have been robust and stable, thanks to the type of offer that we offering that we have, which is exclusive and prestigious, and also in terms of profile of our consumers, which belong to the very high end of the market. In the last roadshow in America, we actually had a chance to speak with you about this topic, with many of you, and we basically agreed that for a very highly sophisticated consumer, the economic situation, the juncture, does not really have a say. Let's now move now on to slide number 11 or your presentation in order to comment the income statement part. The first quarter of results basically highlight the following: plus 130 basis points in the first margin, driven by the evolution of the channel mix and subsequently of the higher weight of the retail sales on revenues. The first margin went from 29.9% the first quarter to 33.1%. As far as SGA are concerned, the increase was 110 basis points, mainly made up of two factors. On the one hand, the increase we often commented on, that is the increase of costs relating to business development and the growth in the retail monobrand channels. And these costs are strictly linked to the monobrand store, and we're talking about rents and the personal costs to staff, personnel to staff the stores. And then the first quarter 2014, we had an increase of labor costs for the production because some tailors basically came into the company, about 70 units that were employed by Davenza previously. And we acquired their know-how, and once again, we'd like to repeat, not the brand, but the know-how. So the know-how was acquired last January in order to strengthen our proposal, our offering in the men's suits. a very interesting product for us that really matches perfectly the brand positioning and our exclusive proposals. As a result of these two trends, first margin and general and SGA combined, so the end result is an EBITDA margin increasing by 20 basis points from 17.9% to 18.1% this quarter compared to last year. We'd also like to report higher depreciation and amortization from 2.5 million to 3.1 million because of investments for new openings and existing stores. And then the financial expenses slightly higher than last year with a weight that goes from 0.5% to last year to 0.7% this year, and then a tax rate around 34% in line with the expectation on the full year, and this is a typical Italian tax rate. As to the net result for the period affected by important depreciation amortization I mentioned before and also by the other variables, net result went up by 8.7%. And with a weight on sales of 9.5% vis-a-vis 9.8% last year. Slide 12 basically comments on the changes resulting in the EBITDA increase from 16.1 to 18.3 million. In slide 13, we basically see how the 5.1 million SG&A increase and their basically weight on the total revenues, this is 110 basis point, is driven by the increase in personnel costs and rents. The personnel costs increased by 100 basis points from 14% to 15% on total sales, and they grew not just because of the increase in the staff in monobrand stores, but also due to the Davenza acquisitions. As far as the rents, as rents are concerned, their incidence on total sales went up from 5.0 to 6.1%. In slide 14, you basically see the trends of the other items in composing operating costs. And I think that the only thing to be reported here is advertising and promotions, which were basically stable in terms of their incidence on total sales. That is, it went up from 5.6 to 5.7%. So basically in line. Let's now move on to the balance sheet. And let's analyze now slide number 15, where we basically show the variation is working capital, whose incidence on the rolling revenues increased by 60 basis points, moving from 27.8 up to 28.4%. Because of the structural increase of inventories, which considering the 6 openings and the 6 conversions to the direct channel, basically increases its weight by 110 basis points, going from 26.4 to 27.5%. In 2013, and I'm now referring to slide 16, massive investment, the investment plan goes on with commercial capex and investments to expand the production sites that are still ongoing. And we have just started to use these facilities last April, and works will be completed over the next few months. Against net investments amounted to just less 12 million over the quarter, the net financial position, slide 17. In this graph, you really see the yearly trend of our net financial position, and it amounts to 28.3 million vis-a-vis the 16.1 million as of 31st December 13, thus confirming the seasonality of the business on single quarters that had already driven NFP in the first quarter of last year from 0.9% million at the end of 2012 to 14.8 million as of March 31st, 2013. I'd now like to give the floor back to Brunello, and I thank you all for your attention. Yes, first of all, I would like to thank Chiara, because to translate with at such a speed, Moreno or myself, you must be good. Thank you. Thank you. Because for us it is very important to have a high-quality translation, both for figures and also in terms of the spiritual and the cultural aspect of the company. I'd now like to spend 10 minutes with you talking about this time, because I think that this time we are experiencing is extremely interesting for several reasons. First of all, absolutely speaking, and for the absolute luxury segment, I think that some of you might have noticed that this morning in the Financial Times, talking about the luxury business, the quality journalist Asia Tanderson basically spoke of two very important, crucial topics. The first was the idea of a no-logo luxury, and the second, even more important, that I've always supported, is the value of traditional markets in the U.S. and consequently of the European market. Why is this interesting? Well, first of all, studies, surveys say that in the next 10 years, the U.S. market is bound to become the most important luxury market. But I would also like to also say that Europe will be as important. But which new affluent consumer doesn't want to go to Europe or America and subsequently buy European and American products? No one. So these two worlds, the U.S. and Europe, let's call it the old Europe, high-quality Europe, so their consumers will be their own consumers who live in Italy, in England, or in America, but on top of them, there will also be these new oncoming consumers. And I have always said, even to my staff here, that we had to be extremely strong in Europe and America, because one day the new consumers would arrive. Who doesn't want to live in New York or Miami or Las Vegas or in Milan or in London, in Paris, you name it. So you see here, you see the great value of your brand that must be perform very, very well in Europe and America. Well, truth be told, we have always managed the company envisaging basically the following, managing Italy, Europe, and America in the very same way as if it was all a whole single domestic market. But you see, there is something very, very important going on in the absolute luxury segment. That's what I'd like to focus on. Tomorrow night, the whole Neiman Marcus staff will be in Milan, and, you know, there are new owners in the company now, and we Italian suppliers are also invited to this meeting, and the new owners want to talk about the new developments with the president, vice presidents, and new managers. I actually went to pay them a visit about a month ago, and I was there with their guests for a couple of days, and I was really impressed, favorably impressed, because they want, beautiful visual merchandising, special trunk shows. They basically demand and require whatever can be demanded of true luxury. A few days ago, in a great statement by Mary Gay, the new CEO of Saks, well, Mary Gay basically talks about the way in which she sees Saks in the future and how she sees the different vendors inside the Saks department stores. So going back to the Financial Times, today's issue, it states that says that niche brands, according to them, and I'm very pleased with this because they put together Loro Piana, Brunello Cucinelli, and Hermès, in their view, these brands will enjoy advantageous conditions because they have always refused to be no logo. So the topic of traditional markets that will become the true luxury markets in 10 years' time, and then the topic of the no logo luxury is what we are basically interested in. But I have to say that I had heard a lot about this over the last year and a half during the fashion shows, because everybody asks for special products, very high quality products, and that are not too widely and wildly distributed. And this is another important thing, the value of distribution. So I now say, so So high value attached to products, very high focus on daily innovation. This must be the great value that lies in products. Now, let's now talk a bit about men's suits. We were very pleased the other day to note that the first sales of suits, the average age of the consumer is 39 years. On average, you see, these suits cost $5,000 or €3,500 in Europe, retail price. So this means that young gentlemen, 30-year-old gentlemen, are now starting to buy very high-level, high-quality suits. And we are very hopeful for the future, because I seriously think that men's suits must undergo a great renewal. But by renewal, I do not really mean something very overwhelming or upsetting. We're just talking about tiny details, and of course, these details change the whole thing, and they attach a specific taste to the product. And I seriously think that we could really enjoy a bright future in men's taste. Everybody keeps demanding more and more visual merchandising. Mind you, visual merchandising is a very, very special aspect. And if it is very important for women's wear, it becomes really essential for men's wear, because at the end of the day, a navy blazer is just a navy blazer, unless you can match it and combine it in a very special way. So we, as far as absolute luxury is concerned, we agree on the fact that everything must have high quality and creativity. So if this is so, how can we possibly invest in people who, thanks to their manual skills, actually manufacture these garments? Because if I was to give you a forecast for the next 10-15 years' time, I do not think that us Italians or French in the absolute luxury segment will encounter any difficulty in terms of sales, but rather we will maybe bump into production-related issues, because there will always be in the world someone wanting to buy, to purchase these special handcrafted products. So we have to invest in these special hands that really manufacture, craft these products. And in order to do this, we need to invest in training. As you might know, we set up these schools at Solomeo, and I have to say they're pretty fascinating also visually, and you will have the chance to admire them next week. And I have to say that the world press has devoted a lot of time and attention to them. But honestly speaking, seeing all these schools of gardening, masonry, agriculture, farming, and then our specific classes in mending, model making, tailoring, and of course there's theater and music classes too. But if we personally, I have a very positive sensation, because I'm pleased to report that we were able to find many, many young people who want to apply artisanal work. Of course, we keep repeating the same thing. Provided that this kind of work, and since we are talking about contemporary artisans, because they employ iPads, scissors, iPhone, so they work in a very contemporary way, but we have to give them moral dignity, and not just that, also economic dignity. So particularly pleasing work environments for those who ply humble work, and they also should be earning a bit more. You know that here in our company, workers, the wages of workers and blue-collar clerks, blue-collar workers, are basically balanced. On average, we could say that they are 20% higher than the average on the market. But what is important to report is that all workers that have a special qualification or traineeship, they receive 20% more than the other general workers without any specialization. And we are very pleased to report this, because we envisage quite a rosy and serene future for these human beings. And now, I'd like to spend 3 minutes, more minutes with you, because next week we will hold a great debate on this. I'd like to talk about healthy profit. What do we mean by that? Well, seriously speaking, and I'd really like to have a discussion with you on this topic next week, I argue that this decade will be the decade of credibility, of truth. You see, already nowadays everybody knows everything thanks to the new media, and if we know everything, then we would be more prone to purchasing products, of course, regardless of how much they cost, because true rich, for them, price is not an issue. But they have an issue with grace, and with grace I mean that products must have a gracious price attached to them, because if they actually learn that the company makes a preposterous profit, well, maybe in future we might encounter some difficulty. And I think that it is already a very strongly perceived issue. Social networks are really brimming with all these impressions and remarks. So, personally, as Cucinelli Group, we have to really take care of this in order to be credible and true forever. So I'd like to really focus on this next week, but please beware that our EBITDA is around 18% of revenues, and this is really typical of our industry, apparel. In this case, I'd like to refer to Zegna, Armani, my esteemed Loro Piana, that is those who basically deal in apparel. So we are very satisfied with this EBITDA rate, and our work for the future must really focus on innovation and the modernity of products, and also the grace, the way in which products, people manufacture these products. And by grace, I mean the place where we work must be gracious, how we basically interact with the community, what kind of community we will be passing on to our children. Maybe this is more difficult to understand, but there is a lot of focus on this. I receive emails from very, very rich, I would like to say extremely rich and affluent people, and they really point to specific details I'm fascinated by, because bottom line, at the end of the day, they all say that everything must be fair and gracious. So, what I would do now, I'd like to draw some conclusions on this first quarter results, and I'd like to say, as a conclusion, that we are very, very satisfied. Personally, I'm very pleased with Italy. I'm very, very pleased with what the Financial Times published today, because over the last 2-3 months when I released interviews, and another top journalist came to see me the other day, well, this topic is very, very strongly felt. So we wait for you. We'll be looking forward to seeing you all next week, my dear investors and friends, or maybe potential investors. We would like to change nothing in our strategy. Trust me, we really believe in absolute luxury, where quality and distribution exclusivity are the key guidelines. Then we would like to be very strong researchers in terms of style, lifestyle, but really great importance attached to that. A very selective distribution, and then at the end of the day, after following 3 important years, at the end of 2014, we will reach 3 important years after the listing, the IPO, 3 important investment years. We can say that today, after holding the General Assembly the other day, there was an assembly that we hold every 2 months with all staff. I don't know whether we can really call them assemblies, since I'm the only one speaking. I'm the only speaker there. But anyway, before the assembly, we do tackle a few topics. Well, I think that I can really say that we have a company with very, very robust roots. And when you come, we will also talk about our approach to the internet. You know, we have hired a 40-year-old person that we called our internet CEO. And we think he's a very high-quality professional, but also because he was able to combine the human values in work, the typical ambience and atmosphere that we want to convey, with the modernity and speed with which we have to come to terms with. So I'd like to thank you very, very much. And now we open the floor for questions. Really, if some more of you want to come to visit next week, you're all welcome. So the works are nearly completed, the company is nearly finished, just a few details are missing. So we would really like to share it with you. Hopefully you like it, hopefully you like the work environment we have here, but we think it's something really worth seeing. Thank you really from the deep of my heart for all that you've given us, investors, in the last couple of years. An immense thank you to analysts, because they really use adjectives to define our companies that honor us and fascinate us. Thank you very much. Chorus call operators talking. We are now opening the floor for questions. Brunello speaking. While you are thinking up a few questions, next week I would envisage the following. You can come here around 3 p.m. and we can take a look at the factory the whole afternoon until 5:30 p.m. And then you know that at that time precisely we stop working. Then maybe you can have a time to go back to your hotel to rest. Then we'll come to pick you up to go back to the village and have a dinner in the main square. But please dress warmly so that you can have a chance to take a look at the village life in the evening after work. And then in the morning, we will have a meeting in the theater according to your needs, to when you need to depart. But what I'd really like is for us to speak of very, very high-level themes, just thinking of where fashion is going and maybe also where the world is going in the next few years, in the coming years. Well, since there are no questions... Oh, there's a question. Sorry, there is one. First question by Chiara Rotelli, Mediobanca. Hi, Brunello. I have two questions for you. First of all, on the slowdown in the like-for-like performance in the last 10 weeks, the indication you had given was 6.1%. I'd like to know whether, in terms of markets, you can give us an indication as to where you actually witnessed a stronger slowdown, and then your expectations on full year for Italy. Given the indication on order intake, how do you see Italy perform in the second half of the year? Thank you, Chiara. Well, honestly speaking, you know, between 6.1 and 5.5% in terms of like-for-like rate, I do not see that very major material change. As we were saying before, what really matters for us is the quarter, because it is in the quarter that you really judge how the collection went. And it is, was the collection good? Was it less good? Was the taste good? Because this is very, very important. So honestly speaking, I do not see that much difference. But then it is true that someone says that maybe Christmas will happen will be on a Thursday, but you see, this is not really the way we reason. This is the way we work, which is slightly different. We do not reason for the next 3 days or the next 5 days. The important part for us is the semester, how the summer collection went, how the winter collection went, whether if the summer sellouts went well, then we are in May, it means that we will have a rosy future also in 2015. This is what really matters for us. As far as the full year is concerned and Italy, I find, well, I'd like to say something interesting. Last week I was a guest at the Association of Industrialists in Biella, and you know that in Biella, that's where the most important high-quality textile manufacturers are located. And we basically left by saying it is not the same as 8 months ago, a year ago. Orders have improved. We can say that, and I'm very pleased to report this, the major industrialists and manufacturers of the end product. They are no longer there to asking for a special discount on the textile for a 60 euro worth of textile. Sometimes, you know, the industrial cost is much less. So, which means that the raw material suppliers can also have their fair profits. We think that Italy is faring well for many different reasons, because of taste, because of the orders we have in our backlog, in our portfolio for the winter, for the atmosphere we are surrounded by. We are organizing events with multi-brands at multi-brands, and we can feel a different mood compared to 6-8 months ago. So this is the most interesting thing to report. The other day we were just saying that about... just talking about the fall-winter orders and the taste, and honestly speaking, orders from Italians against the rest of the world, their content in style is always more sophisticated. So, these, as far as we are concerned, Italy, which was worth 21 last year and maybe 18.5-19% of revenues at the end of this year, of course, it goes down a little bit because it doesn't grow over the year. So last year we lost minus 2.8, but we give a lot of focus importance to it. Next question by Paola Carboni, Equita SIM. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, Mr. Cucinelli. I have three questions for you. The first one about the performance of Eastern European markets and Russian markets, whether you have perceived a few repercussions because of the political tension there, and what you expect in the next few months. And the next two questions, the next one is about China. That doesn't weigh much for you as a country, but I think that we are in a startup phase for Chinese stores, so any performance improvement helps us to absorb fixed costs. So I'd like to know whether you are actually seeing some improvement in this regard in terms of Chinese stores. And the other question, as far as order trend is concerned, I don't know whether we can share specific result. If you see a change between the first and the second quarter, so spring, summer, fall, winter, or the performance, the trend is similar to what you had experienced for the summer season as far as orders are concerned. Well, as far as Russia is concerned, honestly speaking, I don't know. You see, on May the 1st in Solomeo, my wife came to me and she said, you should come and meet some Russian people who are here to visit. Well, as a matter of fact, I'm not worried at all. Here we are talking about, a very high-end, sophisticated customers. It's the average retail price is 1,000 euros, and if you add a pocket square for 180 euros, that's what I mean, very highly affluent customers. As far as China is concerned, you know that I have very special thoughts for China. We want to have a footprint there. Now we are relocating our store in Shanghai, and another relocation will also take place in Beijing, very high quality store there. And you know, it's the same cost that you have in Via della Spiga in Milan. That's the cost of the space we have in Beijing. Just imagine how important it is to be present in special places. Our plan for China is always the same. Last year we did 4.9%. This year will be slightly over 5%. And hopefully these high net worth individuals, Chinese individuals, will buy 4% instead of 2.5% worldwide. But I'd like to have a very high quality distribution in China, because the brand should not be diluted. This is fundamental. You should really trust me. I still believe that the brand must be distributed in a special way in America and Europe. And in order to seas to catch all these tourists traveling the world. You see, I was not really astonished when the Financial Times wrote that in the next 10 years, USA will be the great opportunity market for luxury. Maybe it was so 3 or 5 years ago. But the clear thing is that these foreigners, they want to come to Milan, they want to visit the world. You see, in the Italian resorts, tourist resorts, ski resorts, but my wife and I, we didn't book anything, but we really wanted to book something in March together with some friends in the Dolomites, and it was all sold out. All foreigners were there in March skiing, so I'm not really worried. As far as the third question is concerned, that is orders. I said the winter orders performed very, very well, and honestly speaking, for Italy too. And that's why we said that. For Italy, the plus sign will definitely be there this year. So the only great focus I want to have is, well, honestly speaking, are our products beautiful, exclusive, special, ordinary, and are these products sold at 7.8 times the real industrial cost like we do, or are they sold even 12, 13 times the industrial cost, 14 times industrial cost like other competitors do? So these are the true issues for the future of apparel. Thank you. Next question from the English conference, Piralda Gagna, Lomura.
Good evening, Mr. Cuccinelli. Thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to get a feel for the mix of tourists that you're seeing in the U.S. and whether that is buoyed by either Chinese inbound tourists or you're seeing an increasing brand exposure to the Latin American tourists there, and why you feel so confident that is your next growth market. That was my first question. In relation to my second question, just wanted to get a feel for your advertising spend, and you've been able to hold that relatively flat, at about 5.2% of sales. Should we expect to see that to incrementally increase, like your previous guidance suggested, up towards 6 to 6.5% of sales? And would that give us an additional boost to the top line there? And then finally, just on DOS openings for the year, just wanted to reconfirm what your guidance is in relation to the number of stores you expect to have towards the end of the year. I think that we were last informed, it's around the 64-65 mark. Thank you very much.
Well, the last question. As far as the U.S. market is concerned, this is a very interesting question because the top customer in Miami is from South America. The top customer in Las Vegas is from China, is Chinese. We see it from the kind of size that we have to buy and so on and so forth. Well, as far as these markets are concerned, I think that we have a special future if we can offer special products. So I do not see any issues there except for supplying special products distributed in a very selected way. As far as the second question is concerned, advertising, well, this is a very important topic. We usually we spend 5.7. But to tell you the truth, if I was to speak from my gut feeling, I would spend less, and I'll explain to you why. I would spend zero. I have the impression that for the next 5-10 years, the no logo theme, the refinement theme, the special products theme means that we are even too widely known today. So the future for me is that we should be known 1% less than today, because that's where the difference lies. You see, this can be also confirmed by sophisticated customers who are in the lookout for no logo products, no too widely distributed products. So as far as advertising spending is concerned for the next few years, it will not definitely be 7% a year. On the contrary, but it's not a question of cost, but it is a question of brand really recognition. Over the last 2-3 years, we were really flabbergasted at the way in which in China, not just there, brands have really, you know, diluted. They've really gone down. But you see, social networks are really brimming with these pieces of news. Someone buys a garment in Los Angeles and they say, I bought a pullover by Cucinelli, this, that. So my name comes, our name comes up too often, I would say. As far as the third question is concerned, the DOS openings, well, we are basically in line with what we said before. We want to open just a few stores, particularly beautiful stores in important cities, important locations. Therefore, we opened Vienna and Seoul just a few weeks ago. So only a few openings between 5 and 6. So at the end of the day, we should end up with 103, 104, 105 stores, as per our indications. But generally speaking, I'd like to say that as a trend, if we can, we tend to open one store less than one store more in order to look after the exclusivity of the product. Thank you. For further questions, press star, press by one on your phone. My dear friends, if there are no further questions, please come to Solomeo because I'd really like to hold important discussions with you. If possible, maybe talk about the next 3, 5, 6, 10 years and less about the next 3, 4 months because we'd like to be seen as long, very long-term industrialists. So thank you very much, thank you for your respect and thank you for all that you've given us and also for the growth that we were able to achieve. And you have been really the great auditors of our brand. But first of all, the underlying concept is extremely high exclusivity of the product. This morning we held the board meeting, and in the board we have the very highly esteemed, by myself, Candice Ku, who is also board of a member of the Hermès board. So after the meeting we also spent an hour and a half discussing, and you know what we talked about? Exclusivity and the dignity of profit. These are very strongly felt themes that I really believe in for the next decades. Thank you very much, and have a nice evening. We have a great weather here. Have a rest. Oh, by the way, I'd also like to talk about the idea of working the fair amount and not overworking. This is really a widely felt issue. Thank you very much.